You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, we got a big night tonight. Big night tonight. Maple Leafs back in action down in Boston. Game 1 of the World Series. And the banner's going up down at Scotiabank. The weather is terrible. They're trying to tailgate. They're hoping a lot of people will come down. And I'm sure a number of people will still show up. But it's not like it's a playoff game. Being outside of the building for the banner
raising day, though?
But you got to be in there to see the banner go up.
Yeah, but that's what people...
Buddy, if you can't afford $250,
yeah, you're going to stand there. Like,
you want to be outside of the building for the banner
going
up?
That's all you got. That's all you got.
But they're going to be watching on the Jumbotron, right? That's what people were doing in the playoffs.
When you had the Hayes Casino going, wouldn't you have said to your buddies, let's go be a part of Jurassic Park?
I don't think so for a banner raising. I'm saying I would for a big game. Absolutely. I wish they had that when I was younger.
Here's the thing, though. If you're a diehard Raptors fan, that's the life. You've been waiting for that for a lifetime. If the Leafs win the Cup and you had no access to get in the building, what's the closest thing?
That's all you got.
When they raise the banner.
I would go home and watch it on TV.
Okay, but that's
what I'm saying.
You have access. I'm saying to the Joe from the Bridges, the guys, the closest thing they can get to the banner raising is being a wall apart and watching it on TV.
The difference that would be, that's when you were Hazy B in college, guess what there was not?
Well, there wasn't a Jurassic Park.
No, there was also no Instagram. Nowadays, everybody likes to fire up the camera and say, I'm here. I'm a part of the big celebration.
That is a big part of it, I think.
And that is the biggest difference. Like, people walking around during the celebration, it's not like they want to be a part of it. They loved putting it on the IG saying, we won. I'm on Yonge Street or whatever. We won. That's the whole thing. Like,
I wouldn't go, and I think you wouldn't go if you had to be there. But I'm saying, like, I think that's the next best thing.
Like, what happened when the Jays won it back in 92 and 3? Like, nobody was putting anything on IG.
No, of course not.
I want to be there.
Yeah, but what I don't think you guys are understanding what I'm saying.
I may be missing your point.
For a big game, I'm happy to be down there.
But you don't think
a banner going up, I don't think I have to be outside of the building to say I was outside the building when the banner went up.
Let me understand this. Then you don't think
it's that big. Yeah, but if you're on Instagram and the guy's in London, the guy's saying, oh...
Yeah, the Instagram thing, I'm talking...
That's it. That's all they want to do.
You're saying that you don't think this is that big of a game.
No, I'm saying I think the banner going up, if you're there to see it go up, but it's going to be up there forever now.
Right, so you can see it game four.
Right, I guess what I'm saying is, like, I understand it's a celebration. It is a big night. I'm going down. I'm really looking forward, and I'm fortunate. I'm allowed into the building. I'm going to be into the building.
Right.
I don't know if I'll get there on time to see the banner go up. I hope that I will be.
Yeah.
That would be very cool. But it feels a little bit different, the tailgate for the banner as opposed to for the game is what I'm saying.
I get that.
Like when they were playing in Golden State, absolutely. That would have been the coolest scene going, unless you were lucky enough to be in the building. If not, being outside, getting amped for the game, cheering on a big shot,
but the
banner going up,
and then
is that a celebration outside of the building? I don't know.
It's all IG.
Yeah,
I was here. The banner goes up.
The banner goes up, and then it's game one of the season where they mail it. You know, like
and you're playing a bad New Orleans team.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like after the banner goes up, it's like, nah, you get a half-assed effort.
Tuesday night, I got to work or go to school tomorrow. And
I get that. So
that's what I'm saying.
But I think what I was calling out, I'm like, you're not thinking it's that special of a game once the banner gets put up.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Right, because it's just game one.
Because then the game just gets started.
You're like, I got to watch that team play.
Right.
And you're going to work the kinks out right in front of my eyes, and it's going to be...
Yeah, and Zion Williamson's not playing.
Right, so you're right. I can understand that. There's nothing on the line if they win or lose tonight.
It makes no difference the end result.
But if you're on first date or you're trying to impress somebody, you're like, there's the banner. Only happening once. Check that out. You're gold.
If you're inside the building, you're very gold.
Oh, if you want to stand in Jurassic Park, it's like, yeah, thanks.
That's tough. It's tough.
I'm saying it's tough with the weather and everything. You really got to be into it.
Now, if it was, this would have been probably the cherry on top if Kawhi's team was in town.
That would be
if
very
that was
different.
A Clippers opening. Like, you know, I don't think he would. The schedule maker wouldn't have had that. But how cool would have that been?
That is worthy of a tailgate.
Do you think Kawhi has a message on the Jumbotron tonight?
Well, he's been.
I don't think
around.
He should.
He's been making the rounds with some commercials and stuff. This guy's really enjoying himself out there.
We're going to play the Terminator one at
yeah,
some point.
I thought
this
that
afternoon.
Was actually fantastic.
Do you think he says Toronto enjoy this?
I hope he doesn't. He shouldn't. If the Raptors
so
have,
you don't want that.
Absolutely not. You left.
Yeah,
you're out.
Yeah, like you don't.
You're out.
Yeah, but he won. He won it for them.
Yeah.
What do you
so
think
did
the
Danny
reception
Green.
Would be down there if he came on the Jumbotron saying
he wouldn't do it though? But
I don't think he would do it.
That's like your ex girlfriend sending you a message after she's moved on.
And I
be
wonder,
like, hey, thanks. You know, hope you're enjoying that, whatever's going on back there.
I don't think he would do it. I wonder right. how the Clippers would feel about it. I wonder how the NBA would feel about it. I don't think the Raptors would ever want him to do it.
It opens a can of worms.
It just opens up a can of worms, exactly. We're trying to move on here. Yeah. I don't need Kawhi, you know, showing up during the second quarter tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, you losers, I got a big game tonight in L.A.
Before the Hazy B Casino, did you ever have to say to a girl, I'm trying to move on here. Leave me alone.
What do you mean? Like a stalking situation?
No, just like broke up, maybe a text saying, hey, what's up? And you said,
barely text going on.
Yeah, there weren't many texts going on back then, man. It was face to face. I showed up in it. I grew up in an era where it was face to face.
I need to have a chat with you for a turkey dog.
Like right. Sunday night pub where it's like, hey, what are you doing here? This is my pub.
Yeah, I'm sure I ran into those situations. You probably did.
Dude, I played junior hockey.
So did I. What's your point?
Some guy tweeted me today saying, stop bringing up the fact that Hayes didn't play organized sports. You're ruining the show. I'm like, okay, bud.
Well, I love how your feelings were hurt last night because I went on the attack, but it was a counterattack. It was a Ronnie Trump counterattack maneuver.
No, but you got personal.
You no, did I didn't something get personal.
Stupid. You did something stupid. You asked a question to a pro pitcher and said, what does it feel like to give up a pitch that goes out of the yard in the World Series? Hello? What do you think it feels like?
I've been thinking about it the last 24 hours.
What do you think it feels like?
Oh,
you
sure.
already know the answer.
Yeah,
it feels like garbage.
Maybe he's going to give you some more insight than that.
How, maybe, Brian?
Because that's why you ask him. Maybe when he said, listen, it's the loneliest feeling in the world, that's great content. I got the stones to ask him.
You're
how
an idiot.
Often
You're
how an idiot. Often have we said on the show, I'd love to get this guy on. I'd yeah. love to ask this player.
Bill
what
Buckner,
was that?
How did you
it's
feel?
It's like everybody down in the scrum at the Maple Leafs game. A guy coughs up a puck, and a guy goes in on a breakaway, scores for the game winner. How did you feel after that play? What were you thinking there?
Well, did Mitch Marner get asked that last night? After
obviously,
the penalty
you weren't thinking, and I feel like garbage. So why ask the question?
I
that's what
honest,
you
though.
Don't understand. It's a dumb question, and it doesn't need to be asked.
But it is asked.
Okay.
It is asked, though. Oh, you know that. I've given up bad goals.
Yeah, as an assistant captain, Jamie, go ahead.
I've given up bad goals that may have cost a game. You know that's the first question coming. What happened on that last goal?
If anybody comes up to you and says, what were you thinking on that last...
I didn't say what were you thinking.
No, just
I said, tell
us.
Me about the emotion.
No, you said, how did it feel?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it felt like...
He knows. He's a very rare... Listen.
Dude, you're a guy's guy. You know how it feels, so why are you doing
and
that? That's my point. That's why you're not a captain.
He actually got into it
Yeah, but then
later.
You sewered
That
me.
Guy back there is the captain.
Who, Al?
Yeah.
Al's brother? I don't know.
Al's brother is lucky to have a jersey.
He put on Johnny's headphones. That's not captain material.
No, it's not.
Anyway.
But you sewered me, and then I came back and hammered you, and now you're all emotionally bent out of shape.
Well, I'm just saying, I've never played for a captain that doesn't believe in me, but now I do. And
yeah, so you better earn my trust. Let's go.
I'll try. Let's go. Let's have a radio show.
It's early in the season. We have to gain each other's trust.
That's right.
And it's how you play. And I didn't like what I saw last night.
I don't think anybody liked what they saw last night.
That's two games in a row. And they got 2 points out of the other one.
They're lucky they got a point last night.
I got to be
honest. Leafs, like, it's one thing to be, we got past Boston. It's another thing to barely get a point off Columbus at home.
Right.
Like last
trap
night.
Trap game, though. He called it. He called it trap game.
Trap game, Jamie, but that's garbage.
That was awful last night.
Yeah, they don't.
They're not in a good
place.
They
look like they're disinterested. Right, they look like they're.
It happened. You're in a bad spot right now.
I don't know what they're doing right now, but well, they the just go out pissed. There and they want to throw their sticks out there. Ah, if we score five, we score five. Maybe they'll score two and we'll get away with it, but it's not good. We talked about it after the Tampa game. I said, let's chill out. It's only five games. But last night, that's garbage. That's terrible.
Well, okay, so let's just methodically break this down. We got nothing but time. You're 10 games in. Now you're 10 games in, so an eighth of the season. Where are you guys at with this team? You know, everyone says, yeah, they're talented and all of that.
They're talented, Jamie, but I'll say they're... I'll agree with Craig. Right now, the way they're playing right now, they are not a lock to make the playoffs. Everyone's like, oh, it might not work in the playoffs. They're going to have to work and fight to make the playoffs.
Well, because of the division, too. The division's tough.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the way they're playing. They throw their sticks out there and say, maybe we'll get five goals. Maybe we'll, you know, score in the power play. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll go down 2-0. Maybe we'll go down every game. It's just, it's like a hope game. I hope we do this. It's like they're a team that's designed to, like, attack and say, we're going to bring you this. And they don't do it. They just sit and say, whatever happens there, whatever. And then they respond to it.
Okay, where are you at?
Right now, they look soft and sloppy. And that's good off. That's not good.
Good point.
That's a real problem. If you're soft and sloppy, you're a mess of a hockey team. And that's the truth. And this is, I'm a guy who believes that they have more than enough talent. I think we all do. Mm-hmm. More than enough talent to put it together.
Of course
and
they
still
do.
Get there. I still recognize it's October. There's a lot of runway here. I think they'll be able to figure it out. But I have to say, I am not nearly as confident right now as I was on September 15th.
Yeah, a month ago. Yeah.
And First Up did a good job of looking over the numbers that a lot of people have been referencing. Craig Button brought it up yesterday, did it again last night on SportsCenter. You go back to January 1st of 2019, so the stretch run of last year and 10 games into this season, they are 25-20-8. That is ninth in the Eastern Conference. Since January 1st, they have given up 174 goals, third worst in the league.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the stats.
That's
first
sloppy and soft.
It is. Here's the only thing, and I'm not countering it. It's more just a thought out loud. They've got a bunch of new faces, so Alex Kerfoot can't go, yeah, I'm worried about what happened in January. Same with Tyson Barrie. But that being said, the guys who got paid... And the guys who are the core of this team.
Jamie, that's the thing about the goals that are being scored. It's not like we're breaking down Freddie the Goat or...
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Kerfoot. Kerfoot sometimes. But it's like, we're talking about... I'm going through the goals for the game tonight. I'm like, these aren't the fourth line players and the last guys on defense.
Yeah.
These are the big boys that are absolutely making a mockery of their own zone.
And I think that's where it comes back to the stats, where you're like, because these guys were there last year. So, you know, they're the ones, and I'll go a step further. For me, it's more systematic play, because those guys, that system should have been ingrained. The way they play should be ingrained. It's the new guys that jump on the train. They're the guys who have been here, they're the ones that say, this is how we play. And buy in. You're not seeing it consistently. And that's the concerning part for me is this team, do they have an ability to lock it down when they need to, when they're up 3-2?
Not even close.
But that's what
not
I'm saying. I'm asking the question. I'm not making a statement.
Not right now they don't.
Not right now.
And you can just play the confidence game. And it's a great indicator, and this applies to every single sport. It's not that they can't. It's not that they won't. Are you confident they'll win tonight in Boston?
No.
I'm not.
No.
And that is an indictment on a team that wants to have high expectations. Likely
I will say this.
Has like, legitimate high
I will
expectations.
Say this. The pump-up speech in the room in Boston is this, Brian. Let's forget about the negativity. Let's forget about how bad we played. Tonight is an opportunity to fix everything. And we'll start on the right foot. We'll do everything right. We'll play defense. We'll check. We'll do all that stuff. But as far as confidence, I am not confident they're going to do that tonight.
Exactly. It's not that they can't. Not right. that they won't. It's not like they're Ottawa or Detroit or one right. of the worst teams in the league.
I just don't have a belief that they will do what they
Based on the way they're playing. Based on the way they're playing right now.
The scary part is they could do all that and still lose. Because Boston plays a tight system. And Boston's an
elite team,
too.
And by the way, they're really good.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's not just one game. It's repetition. And I've had coaches say it's a definition of insanity. Play the same way. It's frustrating to have a coach harping and harping, saying, you got to do this, you got to do this. But that's what good teams do. They play the same way every night.
The saying is insanity is doing the same thing over again and getting the same results but expecting different. It's like that's what they do. We've been talking about their D-zone coverage.
For 4 years.
For 4 or 5 years. Like, what the hell are they doing back there? They're sleeping. It's embarrassing.
I think
he said it or you said it. They're Edmonton of last year. They got great players with skill up front. They go and score. But in their own zone, they're like, I don't really care what happens. We'll see. I'll throw my stick out there. I'll do this. And it ends up in the back of their net.
And Austin Matthews last night is the microcosm of the issues.
Yeah, he got a goal and assist. Great plays. But you know what? That play on Dubois,
that's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
That's embarrassing.
Play.
That's embarrassing for a 5'7", 160-pound rookie.
Right.
He's 6'2", 215, and he's in his fourth year getting paid. That can't happen. He got beat twice.
Yeah,
he took the long route and then said, I'm not stopping this guy. So either he doesn't want to commit to it, or maybe he doesn't want to get hurt.
Or maybe he doesn't care.
Well, I think he cares. I think it's just more you
I don't know. How else do you explain
support.
That? It's one or the other.
I can't explain it because that is brutal. You look at that tape. You can't.
There's
you
no
cannot
line.
Same play as
like
that Pastrnak goal the other night. He gets it. He's like, well, maybe I'll get this out. Maybe I don't. Ends up in the back of the net.
But you know what it comes down to? Details and habits.
But
the coach called him, he's going to be the best two-way centerman in the game.
Okay.
He's not even close to that right now.
I think you're dealing with a coach also who's very conflicted because he knows the stopwatch has started for him in Toronto. Like he knows he's got to improve this team this year. He knows he has to have success or he's out. Remember after they won the first game, he came in and the speech went viral.
Yeah.
He had the basketball. We believe we're a good team. We believe it's our time. The Raptors did it. We're going to do it. I don't believe Mike Babcock believes they're ready right now based on the way they're playing.
Then
but he's got to say
you,
that publicly because he knows
right
he's
now,
out if they don't.
I talk to my dad a lot. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
There is something going on here. It looks a little bit different than just like systems play. Like he'll call me and say, you know what? It looks like there's something wrong there. Somebody dislikes somebody. I don't know what it is. But it's starting to look like somebody dislikes somebody. I don't know who it is. But it's more than just... How does a coach not... You get paid $6 million a year. Defense is what you're supposed to coach. You can't teach Austin Matthews to rip it under the bar. What the hell are they doing back there?
Here's another
They're
thing,
starting
though.
To play like somebody doesn't like somebody. I don't know what it is.
If you take... And I know this is just cherry-picking, but... They do have up front three guys that are, we'll call elite. They're elite. Marner included with Matthews and
so Mars. Was Taze and Kane. And
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm getting to. Bottom of the roster scare you? Does the second half of your defense scare you?
No. And all the
but
defensive
that's the parity
situations,
in the
we're not talking
League.
About Freddie the Goat screwing up. We're not talking about Mikheyev. We're
no, but that's but what I'm saying is the parity in the National Hockey League all looks the same for the most part. The Leafs' strength last year was down the middle, and then especially on the right side when Nylander signed. Kapanen, I know he got a shorty, that was last night, but Kapanen, he doesn't look as dangerous to me. There's times where Marner has been very loosey-goosey, you know, beautiful assist, but turnovers. I think it's the details and the habits right now. If they clean him up, that team will look a lot different.
Yes.
How many times have we said, I
know,
cleaned it up?
I know, but it's 10 games in. I'm not ready to sound the alarm, but they should be pissed.
William Nylander was a microcosm on that team last night. He was so bad from one period to two period to two and a half, and then he scored a goal and he was all jacked up. And he honestly didn't piss a drop last night. He didn't do anything. And then he scored an opportunistic goal, and everything's great. I couldn't believe it. I was talking in text messages. What is wrong with this guy? He won't skate. He won't hustle. He won't do this. Scores a goal. Everything's great.
But that's, you know, some nights it happens. You know that. The puck just follows a goal scorer around and they get one. Like, that's...
That's,
you know,
great, but it's...
I get that. I'm just saying to a man, and I want to get back to the coach, because that's where you know, you could see the frustration last night.
Well, we'll come back and we'll play his audio from the post game, because there's, I think, many different ways you can interpret what he had to say after the game when he was asked to respond to what Jake Muzzin said. And Muzzin's a vet who's clearly comfortable now in that room, who's won a cup and has seen what has to happen and what needs to happen, and he ain't seeing it with his team right now. It's not like Muzzin's perfect either.
No, no.
But, you know, I think the issue, again, it's not the depth. I don't have any issue with the third, fourth line.
There's enough good players on that team to go out and do the job.
And the big boys are the ones that have to get better. Like, that Riley-CC pairing is an abomination right now.
Yeah,
an absolute disaster.
Yeah, and I agree.
That's Morgan Riley. That's your best defenseman. And he's got to be better. He's got to pay attention to detail. They're all letting it slip.
They all do. Yeah.
But if they do, and they get it going, with that talent, there's no reason they can't win a ton of games and put themselves right back into the conversation. And it's early enough where all of this can be forgotten. But it's got to start at some point. And we'll come back. We'll get Duffy in studio. We got the game for you tonight on TSN Radio and up on TSN 4. We'll play the Babcock comment from the post game. We'll tee up the game tonight. Race coming up. Sam Mitchell's on the show at 5:30.
Yes.
Bobby Mack in studio. Josh Lewenberg live from Scotiabank Arena. It's a big night downtown, and we're looking forward to it. Game one of the World Series tonight as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. All right, James Duffy expected to be in studio at some point. Maybe he won't be. Ray Ferraro coming up. Ray's in Boston calling the game tonight. Leafs Bruins on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Sam Mitchell back in an hour as well at 5:30.
He's not here. Like, we came back. I had a sandwich sitting here. It's like we're in my mom's basement, Darlene McLennan's basement.
I know.
You sometimes forget.
Like, well, and the thing is, Megan, who is the queen of Overdrive, and she runs the whole TV operation.
She'll usually get in the grappler's ear and be like, tell that idiot to get the sandwich off the desk or whatever.
Right. But sometimes also she'll just leave the TSN radio board up or the Overdrive board up. And sometimes she'll
until
be like,
we're organized.
I'm going right back in studio and I'm going to show what these guys are actually doing in there.
These idiots,
And if I don't have my headphones on, which I didn't, if you're eating a sandwich, which you were,
I don't know what you're up cucumber.
To. What are you baking those in? Like, what is...
There's juice.
I don't know if that needs to be, honestly, like...
That's what's wrong with you today? You're all bummed out.
I'm not, but I'm trying to...
Because I'm the captain, you're bummed out.
What I do is, I eat cucumbers, but when I was a kid, my mom used to give us cucumbers, but she would put them in vinegar, so they taste a little better.
Right.
I'm on a diet, I want to eat cucumbers, but I put them in vinegar, so they taste a little better.
Vinegar, though, is known, like, that's the new sugar. Vinegar will put 30 pounds on you.
Buddy, I can't do it today.
James Duffy in studio.
I can't.
Comes out with a 100-mile-per-hour heater on the corner.
Honestly, guys, I'm not in the mood today.
Yeah, what's up with you, man? Why are
you
not in the mood?
I'm not in the mood. So pick another day.
The captain got to you yesterday.
No, just...
That bodes well that you've got 3 hours with you, and then I have to have him for 2.5 hours.
It'll be good.
It'll be great. It's a long day. I got a thing on my phone. A guy tried to break into my backyard yesterday. He was roaming around my backyard. I was up all night phoning the police in Collingwood.
Jeez.
Didn't get a lot of sleep. I'm not in the mood today.
A big Leaf win tonight. A big Raptor win.
Will put you in a mood.
I think would put you in a great mood. So I think the Toronto sports god needs to hook up the O-Dog this evening. Do you agree with that, James?
I just think even a start on time. Get a lead, and the O-Dog will be fixed. Were you officially named captain? Did I miss that? And is that why you have such a stunningly handsome suit on today?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
You look great.
Thank you, James.
Pretty good about
you
himself.
Look great.
I will say, he is feeling pretty good about himself. Right
I do feel pretty good about myself.
The puff is like triple layer.
No, he's got...
I swear that's sewn in there.
No, this guy did it for me.
Really?
Yeah, the O-Dog.
I still don't know how to do puffs.
Neither do I.
Me neither.
And panel secret, when I do have a puff, it'll usually be white.
It's a
piece of paper.
Is it the Marty Biron?
I take a piece of paper, I fold it into a little square, and I put it in there in the puff.
I'm not going to name names, but there is a very famous Canadian sportscaster. And do you know what he uses for his puff?
Underpants.
Underwear.
Really?
Women's underwear.
Wow.
That's my understanding. That's what I've been told through the grapevine. Again, we'll not be naming names. Women's underwear for a puff.
I really want to name it because I know.
Do you know who it is?
I know exactly who it is.
Okay, so we all know who it is. We're not going to say it.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we should clarify. It's not like you know, it's not a trophies thing. Of his conquests. He just it's just easy to do.
Right.
It's, he'll buy them in the bin.
Tea bag, and he rolls it into a puff and puts it in.
Yeah, I actually don't know who it is.
Well, I'll tell you in the break. He's
his
not
name
into...
rhymes with Rob Mafrenzy. No, it's not him.
And he's so sure.
It's not him.
May or may not.
Imagine if it was the Bob father, though, with the ladies' underwear. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And this gentleman isn't breaking into homes and, like, stealing them. Let's just clarify.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wasn't roving
he
around.
He buys them
backyard.
And loves it.
Yeah. So we'll leave it at that.
Maybe a poll, though.
Could be. Maybe you know a part what? Of the quiz.
Exactly. No, we're not doing that.
Part of the quiz.
If I have to pull this thing back, it's a problem.
If O-Dog's the one pulling the show, hey, guys, tone it down.
If he has to tone it down, we've crossed a line.
We were playing the confidence game, the level of confidence. I guess we could play some level of concern. Maybe we flip it and go the opposite way. Because we were saying...
Well, let's get this thing for him, no?
Yeah, well, okay, let's get to... let me tee it up and I'll set it up for you. But, yeah, I know. You don't have headphones.
Oh, we'll shut it off.
I'll plug it in. I need to hear this?
Not really.
Oh.
You can if you want, but we can just all shut off our headphones in here, and you can hear it within the studio. But we were saying that when you're not really feeling your team's performance, you don't have to get overly analytical. You don't have to really look at any stats or the graphs or take into account context and who they're playing and back-to-backs. It's simple. Do you have any confidence that the team is going to win that given night?
It's a feel. It's just a feel. Fan
and
feel.
It's not as if they can't. It's not as if they won't. But we went around the table and didn't. None of us believe that the Leafs are going to win tonight.
Hmm.
Like, just have confidence that they're going to win just based on the way they've been playing. Where do you stand on the confidence meter with the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, there's no rational thought. I always think, though, when everybody thinks that, is this the time they win? So I'll go the other side, only because of the rule of my general rule of sports is that just when you think everything's going bad and it's one of those games where the backup's in and you shouldn't beat them, that's when you win. That always happens.
Yeah. Third game in four nights. Yeah, all the excuses that have a bullseye right on you.
And just when you're starting to feel bad and then you remember, this team has got a lot of talent and they win 5-2 or something like that. So I'm feeling strong. What is it? This little game you play, is it a number or what is it? What do you do? How do you answer
level
the question?
Of concern.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do it like DEFCON 4 or whatever that thing is? What is the no?
No, we have our
kind
own.
Of been,
what's
your
own
thing?
What's your thing? Rules here? Level of concern. It's effectively you put three different layers of drinking.
One is a beer on a patio. One is, I think, a 12 pack. And then the other one is.
The more concerned you are, the more you drink?
Right.
Yes.
And the third one is Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Yeah, so that's like...
Now, if I remember correctly, he dies while having relations with Elizabeth Shue. So that's not too bad.
That's not where we're heading.
That's a glass half full approach.
If you're going to go out...
Yeah.
That's right. That's how Nick Cage, that's how that movie ends. Nick Cage dies in the middle of relations with Elizabeth Shue.
That I don't remember.
I don't remember that. Are you sure about that?
That's how he dies.
I don't think so.
No.
Do you want me to get graphic about it?
No, I prefer that you didn't.
Again, Elizabeth Shue from Adventures in Babysitting.
I know, I love her.
We get
She's
it.
Amazing.
He didn't die in that movie, though.
He dies having relations with Elizabeth Shue in the midst of the relations.
I thought it was,
that's how
was
the
just
movie
so
ends.
Buckled that it just
yeah,
came
I
to
thought,
an end
Yeah, I thought she just woke up and looked at him and there
no.
was
that was the end of the road.
Next
to
no.
I watched a different version.
That's why your entire thing is a joke if you didn't know the end of the movie, right?
Well,
okay, so mine would be three grapefruit coolers, level of concern.
Now, for you, is that a big night? That's the thing. That could be your equivalent of Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas.
I'm a six-pack.
Yeah. I'm not a pint on the patio. Oh,
but a six pack would knock me out. I'm soft these days.
Okay, I'm a six pack.
I'm a six pack where I can see
three Mick Ultras.
I can see it go one way or the other, but it's at least caused me to sit back and take a peek here. I don't like systematically what's going on. That concerns me because what that does is it stresses the goalie. Goalie faced another 38 shots last night and really had to get them a point. He battled to get them a point, which it probably shouldn't have gone that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what concerns me because you're stressing the guy that you want to give rest to at some point. But you're not giving the other guy any confidence. And Hutchinson, that's concerning me.
I'm a six-pack plus possibly a little stay afterwards. You know the old one more or you want to stick around?
But do you...
I'm not Nick Cage dying...
It can't be in October.
No,
you can't be Nick Cage in October, but...
Are you a six-pack and then you accept a shot from the bartender, maybe?
Probably.
Something like that.
Well, let's hear from
Babcock.
I don't
think you guys should be drinking away your troubles. I think there's bigger, deep-rooted problems on this panel.
Well, it's a game.
It's a game.
Just like you're not actually
part of our show.
Conducting a quiz on your show.
Some people would do
the opposite, and like the six pack or the 12 pack would be that's a night they're having a good night, they're having fun.
Right, so you'd be
excited. They wouldn't drink when they're concerned.
We don't actually do it. We're just like,
I like to make things real life.
He's real life.
Okay, let's play Babcock postgame, okay? He was asked about Jake Muzzin's comments where Muzzin was really, you know, taking a pretty strong stance on how sloppy the team's been playing and how poorly defensively they've been playing. And Babcock was asked to respond to that, and here's what he said post-game last night.
Issues for us, just shift length, discipline, and shift length, and then sort of low defensively. But, you know, we do lots of good things. The ability to maintain it and do it for 60 hasn't been something that we've done game in, game out, and that's what good teams do. And you got to mature and grow up as a group for that to happen. You just have to. The level of focus that you bring to your job each day, no matter what job you do, has to be at a high end.
So I said before the start of the year, the one thing that is officially over is we're still learning, we're still raw, green behind the ears, still trying to figure things out here. Just a couple of young pups who happen to be making $11 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who's screwing up, by the way. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
It's the big boys who are making the mistakes.
The Marner mistake on the shorty was awful.
Mm-hmm.
That was a horrible
And Matthews,
horrible
the way
play.
He played Dubois, is mm-hmm. unacceptable at the NHL level. You can't play like that. So is he giving them a pass, though, that they're still too young to have figured this out? They're in the league for a long time. I mean, we're talking about the fourth year. You don't get the luxury of a 35-year career.
No. I don't know if he's trying to put the whole, you know, all new faces, and as a group, we're not there yet. We haven't found each other. There's a bunch of new guys in the room. I don't know if he's trying to make a collective comment that way and sort of buy himself more time, as in, you know, I need another month to get these guys as a unit on the same page, but I don't know. It's all kind of wishy-washy.
To me, the league is really sloppy early on. Everyone is. Look at Tampa.
Yeah, but there's only 10 teams that have cup aspirations. So
I get that. And the surprising ones, the Buffaloes and Edmontons, they're going to come back down to earth, and we understand that. But the league is very sloppy that first month, really up to Thanksgiving. There's three or four seasons within a season. Yeah, the Leafs are no different than anybody else. Tampa's been a team that's been very sloppy and looks uninterested some periods. Not the whole game, but some periods they kind of go to sleep. And that's where, to me, the Leafs are like, we know we're a good team. We can kind of turn it on here and there. The difference is, and I know where you're heading with this, Brian, is they haven't won anything to rest on those laurels.
And isn't the difference is in the real concern, getting back to your little game, if there's real concern, people out there, they're looking at their team going, can these guys be that much better defensively, or they all just are what they are and this team will never be great defensively and thus will never go deep? I mean, that would be the concern that I would have, not saying that you're there yet. But that's a possibility, isn't that? Isn't that a possibility that this group of guys can't play team defense well enough?
Until they show otherwise.
How is that possible? You get plugs in the NHL. Defense is coaching. Like, if the grappler came in here and said, Duthie, go in the corner, shut down the guy, Noodles be in support, O-Dog be in, like, defense is what coaching is all about.
Mike but Babcock, aren't there some guys that would never do it? You must have played with some guys.
How can you never do it? It's your job. I don't get it. What do you not do it? I mean, he says go and finish the check in the corner. You go do it. Like, there's no such thing as not. You either.
But
do
you must
it.
Have played with guys that never got it.
Well, yeah, I've played with guys who were dumb as dirt. I'll be honest. And you had to coach them every shift. You called them programmable players because the minute that you didn't program them, they went off in this direction, they went off in this direction.
Dale Yakupov would never win the Selkie. But if he couldn't go and, like, finish his check when his defenseman had the puck or, like, get it in the... I just don't get it. But, you're either dumb or whatever.
But here's the thing, though. If Yakupov doesn't do it, then the coach goes, guess what? You're not going to play. Like, I remember Jacques Lemaire clearly, and I was sitting on the bench when he said this. Marion Gaborik went out. He was an 18-year-old kid trying to learn how to play in the NHL. Goes out, and he goes, Gabby, you do that again, you're going to sit next to me. And you do that again, you're going to go upstairs. Like, that's the accountability, that's all Babcock has.
But it's been lost now because these guys have got paid and they're the man.
You are?
It's gone now. That had to happen his rookie season.
Here's the thing, though. I'm not buying into this. As a pro athlete, I don't think anybody would. I've never once, even if I didn't love the coach, given up and been like, I'm not going to play tonight because I don't like that guy. The narrative is like, these guys have given up on Babcock.
Right,
I don't believe that.
But what I'm saying is he can't threaten Matthews going to the press box because he doesn't pick up his check.
No.
Like,
you're right.
You could do that with Gabrick at 18 with an expansion team. You can't do that in year four when Matthews is making 11.
And that's
six.
The problem. How about, it's not like Freddie the Goat is pulling this garbage.
It's the big boy.
But how about this? You can embarrass him and go, you know what? I'm going to nail your ass to the bench for a period. And you sit there, and it'll be trending on Twitter because everyone's going to blow their minds.
Well, maybe that should happen.
Well, that's
maybe
accountability has to happen.
I was going
to
say that it's not that different. Toronto's obviously the big spotlight.
Yeah, it's an epicenter.
But there's a lot of markets where you're not going to bench the best player. And then I thought you have such a unique situation like Dallas last year when you had the executive call out Ben and Sagan. And how rare was that? That felt just completely out of left field.
Right.
Did it work?
Yeah, it did.
It kind of worked. They were pretty good the rest of the season, right? I'm not saying that somebody needs to, Brendan Shanahan or somebody needs to do something like that. And they're not at this level. Again, we say it's still early, but at a certain point, if we're talking about this a month down the road.
Yeah. Leafs Bruins tonight on TSN 4 and on TSN Radio. Should be a good one tonight. We'll catch you on the panel. Good seeing you, buddy, as always.
Good to see you, Captain.
Thank you. There's James Duthie, the captain of the panel. The captain of the
Bob
panel.
Bob might argue with that.
Going at it.
Does O have an A on the panel?
Well, there's if Pooley and Bob aren't there.
Okay.
We'll get the A.
There you go. A replaceable A. That's what we
and
need.
Noodles.
Once again,
and
another
noodles,
guy that never played anything. Like, doesn't know
Ray Ferraro in 20 minutes. Sam Mitchell at 5:30. Did the NFL film sewer Sam Darnold last night? We'll talk about that next. All right. So it was ugly last night for Sam Darnold and the New York Jets. The Patriots beat them 33-0. It wasn't even close. And you look at the stat line for Darnold. He went 11 for 32, 86 yards, 4 interceptions, and I believe he lost a fumble as well. Responsible for 5 turnovers.
He basically had a Patriots jersey on last night.
Yes.
He was throwing to them.
He was
Why was he
brutal.
Still in the game? Like,
is there any option?
At a certain point, it's like...
He's coming off mono, I guess. They want him to play and get reps. I don't have an explanation for it.
Those reps are not... They're not productive.
He had mono, okay. He also had the most outrageous quote I've ever heard from a quarterback in the NFL.
All right, let's play it.
Yeah.
And I think this was only after maybe his second interception. So it's not like this was fourth quarter or 4 interceptions in the back room having a beer, kind of joking about how poor he played. This is what the NFL films picked up, courtesy of Sam Darnold being mic'd up during the game last night.
Seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
That's not good. And you heard what he said? They're going to keep bringing it. I would too.
Seeing ghosts. That is actually a great way to describe
it. It is an unreal statement as far as...
I'm not kidding you. He'll have to win a Super Bowl to ever escape those comments.
Well, there'll be people dressed up and all of that.
No, no. Just like his whole career, it's like you're the guy that said, I'm seeing ghosts.
I think it's a saying, though. I kind of thought it was cool.
I do wonder if it's like a quarterback.
What the hell kind of saying is that in pro sports?
But you look up and there's just people everywhere or things happening everywhere.
What do you think he meant by that? That I'm seeing too many New England...
Seeing bodies, seeing...
Like, or I'm seeing receivers that aren't there.
Yeah, that's... I got... Like, to me, there's...
Dude, it's a ridiculous comment. It's,
right. But here, I'm going to... Here's where I'm going to stick up for him a little bit. Not for the comment.
Right.
But I think the NFL films sewered
they
him last
him
night.
Up.
That is a sewer job. And the Jets, listen, he was brutal. He's got to own that.
By the way, the NFL films still shot everything down the sidelines.
Well, my understanding is, based on what I read today, is the way it works is the NFL films, they've got them mic'd up. Don't forget, this is the league that runs this. The PA's involved. When you listen to players get mic'd up, it's always G-rated, rah, rah. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, good to see you, buddy. They never sewer them. And there's a rep in the room representing the team that says, no. Yes.
Believe me, I've sat on the NHL side, sat there while a PR guy goes, nope, nope, nope.
Like, I can't believe through. I can't believe you allowed a second-year quarterback, the face of your team, to be on national TV saying that he's seeing
ghosts.
Like, that is a sewer job. I understand why Darnold would be furious, why the Jets would be furious. And what you're going to get is players in the future are going to say, I'm not getting mic'd up. I don't trust
you. Never.
Exactly.
Because you know guys say stuff on the sidelines all the time when they're mic'd up. Carving their coach, carving their quarterback, their defense, and it doesn't hit TV because the league knows better. We can't do that.
Yeah, that's a bad, bad look.
He got sandbagged last night. Ray Ferraro and Sam Mitchell in the next hour. Leafs Bruins tonight. Raptors Pelicans down at Scotiabank. Game 1 of the World Series as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.